The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
And good morning, North State. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. It's Thursday, so this is Trish Clark. And Carl and Linda are out of town enjoying some much-earned leisure time. And so I'm going to be here with you this morning from 7 to 9 and again tomorrow from 7 to 9. This morning I'm joined by a fire chief from City of Anderson, Rick Weigel, and he's going to be my kind of co-host, and we're going to talk fire for a couple hours and anything else you're interested in talking about. So jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. Bob, what's the weather look like this morning?
Well, Trish, good morning. It is 53 degrees in Reading and partly cloudy skies. The high around 77, starting to warm up a little bit now that the storm system has gone through. 58 for the overnight low, mainly sunny, and the high jumps right back up to 90 degrees for your Friday. As we head into the weekend, we actually start flirting with the century mark again. So the days of summer when we have very wide temperature fluctuations are upon us. No more rain in sight for the next several days as we look ahead. Again, 53 degrees in Reading. This report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where they say our customers are warm friends, and on hot days, it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer.
You can reach them at 365-3793. So, again, I have with me the fire chief from the City of Anderson, Chief Rick Weigel. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome. I think you've been in here before and kind of talked since you've been in the area, and I was saying new fire chief, but I can hardly say that anymore because you've been with us
11 months.
Almost a year. So, but for those who haven't heard about who you are, give us a little background of who you are and where you came from.
Well, I originally kind of grew up in San Diego, went to school, graduated high school, left, went to Hawaii to surf, and met my wife, got married, and life started to get real. So I actually ended up in Arizona in a little town called Prescott, if you've ever been there.
Yeah.
And went to work up there for the fire department, got on hot shots for a year, and then got hired by the Central Yavapai Fire District and spent, well, I guess about almost 13 years there. Then I took a deputy chief's job down in the valley near Phoenix and spent 2.5 years there with the Sun Lakes Fire District, and which was kind of a substation of the Phoenix Fire Department. We were dispatched by Phoenix. And then went over to the City of Gilbert as a battalion chief, and I spent the last 7 years of my career in Arizona as a battalion chief in Gilbert, Arizona.
So that tragedy a couple of years ago really hit home then.
Yes, it did. A lot of those folks I knew, and a lot of their fathers and parents I knew.
Wow.
And the leaders, the division chief that was ahead of the Prescott Hotshots is a very good friend of mine. Known him for about 25 years.
Wow.
So. Small world, and, that had to be just... can't imagine.
Yeah, it was it was one of those things that you hope never happens in your career. I was actually at it's one of those things where you can remember exactly where you are, where you were.
Exactly.
I was out at dinner with my wife that night, and I got a phone call that they had lost 19, and I said, "What do you mean? You don't lose 19." And then the reality of what happened. As we spent the rest of the night on the phone and ended up actually going up there. But I found myself doing some other things, emergency management and traveling for work and just doing some other things parallel the fire service. Realized that I wanted to go back in the fire service, so started looking for some more opportunities. Knew I wanted to come back to California, and here I am.
So I imagine one message you might have is that it's all well and good to want to stand and defend your property, but this is nothing. If we have a real rip-roaring fire, even professionals, it'll get them if it gets out of hand.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it's
you're not going to put it out with a garden hose if it's gone to crown.
No, and I think what everybody needs to realize is that there's insurance to rebuild structures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nature will bring back the vegetation, but you know, you can't replace a life that's lost in a fire.
Well, and certainly, hopefully, as we go on through the show, we'll talk a little bit more about the kind of fires that we're getting today and some of the reasons for them. But, we had a real tragedy here. I know what you're talking about with the closeness when we had the, gosh, way back in the, what was that, in the 70s, when we had the the plane go in out at the service center. Out in here in Redding.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that was, you know, four very close friends, people that Bob worked with and day in and day out. And in fact, that was supposed to have been my husband's flight. And then he had to go to Arizona to pick up an airplane and, fate. If it's not your time, it's not your time. But boy, that's hard to recover from. And it's hard for a community to recover from when something like that happens.
It is, and the, you know, the city of Prescott and Yavapai County, that area up there, and even the state of Arizona with the fire service, how close they are, it's they're still in the healing process, and it's just so wide, the devastation it has affected so many families and people, and that it's. It's, I don't think it's something that they'll ever recover from.
Okay, so let's just jump to another subject really quickly, and let's go to. You want to go to a?
Not yet. Go ahead, and then I got to have a All couple right. of community announcements.
Okay. Well, we've got this month is Fire Prevention Month.
October is.
October coming yes. up in October.
Yes.
So what kind of things do we do for that?
Well, we have not only do we do some schools and some city things in the city of Anderson, we're part of our fire marshal and our community risk fire prevention bureau is part of a bigger process here. They're part of the regional partners of all the fed, state, local, county that they go out and they do schools, they do programs, they bring in vehicles, they have their trailer that the fire prevention group has purchased. They go out and they do training. They try to reach a certain group of kids. If they can reach these kids young, you know, teach them about fire safety and about certain things, then we can hopefully that they'll carry those things into their adult lives. So mainly it's just making the community aware that fires kill. And there's a tremendous amount of destruction that happens with a fire. And some of these things can be early observation. They can be just how you deal with your fireplace ashes, making sure that your smoke detectors are working, things like that, that if you do have a fire, that it's caught early and that people can get out.
I think, it's specifically in the city of Anderson, a lot of the homes that we have down there are older homes. And the wiring, there's not a lot of outlets in houses. And as you know, my son's part of the fire department, and that's one of the things that he constantly is on me about. I mean, he goes through my house and says no.
I've
gotten very conscious of that. People don't think about it. You keep putting extensions on and extension cords, and he just has a fit. And I think there's a reason for that because a lot of electrical fires as a result.
I've been asked to leave a couple of my friends' homes because I'll get on them about their electrical cords or their, I tell them, you need to unplug your toaster and things like that at night. And because these these appliances are energized.
Uh-huh.
And so if there's a short or there's something, then there's power going to them. And I've seen a lot of fires started with, you know, dryers drying at night and people leave the house and there's a fire there. And so, you know, I have a lot of friends that make fun of me for that. But in reality, those are areas that are start fires in homes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, I know several times, and I'm pretty good now. I can take what I call a Rick check. That's my son's name as well. And
that's a good one.
He can go through my house now and not just get screaming, you know, raged by the time he gets done. But I take pictures and show him how I've hooked things up. And
all righty, well, 715 at KCNR, 1460, 605-4567, the number to call in. Or, of course, you can check our chat room at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the program brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, ranked a top 100 hospital in the nation for 3 years in a row. Shasta Regional is treating people well.
I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got my 10 power gears and a George overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes open wide.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your deliveries. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchard. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Get quality Mohawk flooring in your home right now at Shasta Lake Floors and pay no interest until January 2018. Hi, this is Pete with Shasta Lake Floors. It's Mohawk's anniversary sale now through October 26th, and you can get new Karastan Smart Strand silk carpet, wear-dated carpet fiber, or other Mohawk flooring in your home at big savings and pay no interest on your purchase. Luxurious Karastan Smart Strand silk carpet and wear-dated carpet fiber is tough-tested to meet or exceed your expectations. Karastan and Smart Strand silk carpet are the finest made in America, and Shasta Lake Floors has it at unbeatable prices. This sale includes Karastan and Smart Strand silk carpet, new wood flooring, tile, laminates, and any other Mohawk product installed by you or Shasta Lake Floors experienced flooring techs. All with no interest financing until January 2018. Come see us today at Shasta Lake Floors, voted best in the North State 8 years running. 4052 Shasta Dam Boulevard and the city of Shasta Lake. Financing subject to credit approval. See store for details.
From the exquisite artistry of the Moscow Ballet's world-class Russian dancers to the phenomenon of Blue Man Group, the Reading Civic Auditorium is showcasing some serious wow. The 15-16 theatrical season gives stage to the critically acclaimed and includes a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows. The season hails the Moscow Ballet's breathtaking return of the Great Russian Nutcracker the Friday evening after Thanksgiving. The festive Christmas fantasy continues with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas show and stunning debut of the Reading Civic's very own production of a favorite classic, Christmas Carol, A Love Story. 2016 soars to new heights with the pop culture phenomenon Flashdance the Musical. The devilishly enthralling theatrical production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, the wildly popular Blue Man Group, and astonishing family entertainment of Chris Morandi's Stunt Dog Experience. For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio. It is Thursday, and this is Trish, and I'm joined this morning with my co-host, Rick Weigel, the fire chief from the city of Anderson. We're just talking fire in general and kind of fire stuff here this morning. If you have a question that you'd like to ask, please give us a call at 605-4567, or jump in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. I can't check the stuff in the chat room, but if you come up with a question, I think Bob is kind of looking at that. So if you've got questions you'd like to register, we'll have Bob check that for you. So thanks for joining us this morning, and hope we keep you interested. So, Rick, the next thing here that we kind of want to hit on is we've got a new addition coming to the city of Anderson we're quite excited about.
We do. Yes, we were when I first got here, one of the things that as I went through the budget, I was shown that there was a some monies were grant monies were given from the tribe up here for a ladder
Wind River.
Truck, mm-hmm. Right, Wind River. And as I looked at that, and I thought, you know, that was that grant was about 7 years old, and so my concern was that we'd had that, and they weren't able to purchase a ladder truck, and at the rate that they were trying to save for it, you know, it would be another 25 years. So, but what we did is we did some creative financing. We were able to actually purchase a brand new Pierce heavy duty ladder, 75 foot Quint, which is it's a combination. It's got it's a ladder truck, an aerial device. It's got the pump hose and water and has those capabilities to go either way, but it is a ladder truck. And so we were able to actually take that Wind River contribution and the monies that they had saved and put a large down payment on the new truck and have it built to our specifications for the Anderson area and the South County of Shasta area. And we were able to spec that out and build it and really not impact our general budget at all. So that's we're excited about that. It's coming with some new branding, some new a new look for this area. I'm not going to tell you what it's going to look like. You'll be surprised when you see it. It will be red, though. And so we're real excited. There's going to be a learning curve with it. There'll be probably when it gets here, it'll probably be out of service for at least a month while we do a ladder academy and all of our folks are going to be going through training both. With outside trainers and with inside, we have now brought on a reserve battalion chief from the city of San Jose that has many years experience with ladder work in Northern California, and was a battalion chief and retired from San Jose, and he's coming on board as a reserve battalion chief to help us with our command coverage, duty coverage, and our training needs. So we're pretty excited about that also.
Well, and I love this part of it because we've needed that ladder truck. South County has really had to depend on somebody else sending in a ladder truck, and that's been an issue. It certainly is an issue when people think about building in the city of Anderson, if you're talking about any kind of a structure. And we have structures that require the use of a ladder truck if
right.
something were to happen. I like to say that I just recently was appointed to the Anderson Fire Protection District a few months back, and actually just before you got the ladder truck. So I got to vote on that, and I'm taking full credit for it. I had to get back on the fire board before we could get that ladder truck we've needed all these years since I was on the fire board in the 80s.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it is the only ladder truck in the area is the city of Reading.
Yes.
And so it's a, you know, it's a, it's kind of an unfair expecting them to handle all aerial work or ladder work like that for the communities without giving something back. So in our way, we're able to give back to some of the bigger organizations that give so much to us, like Cal Fire, Shasta County, the City of Reading. We're going to be able to send that ladder truck anywhere into the county for Cal Fire, Shasta County. They give a tremendous amount to us. The city of Reading, if they need a second ladder or an aerial device up there for a large fire, it's certainly going to go at their request. So it's a vehicle that will benefit the whole South County and our regional partners here.
Well, and I was really, because there's no question, and certainly the community is going to be hearing something about this, is that the Special District, City of Anderson, is a Anderson Fire Protection District. It's a special district. It's not part of the City of Anderson. We've been operating on a shoestring budget down there for a lot of years, and we're, you know, as other areas have been impacted. We don't have a lot of money coming in. We're going to have to do something about that. I'm glad to have the explanation before the community that it wasn't because we bought a bunch of new equipment. It's because this is not going to, it's going to be paid by the money that was being saved. The payment
right.
will be made by the money that was being saved towards the ladder truck
right.
that's been coming in all these years and going into that fund.
Yeah, no funds from the general budget go for the ladder truck.
Exactly. And that's important for the community to realize and know that that wasn't the reason that we probably are going to be coming to you in the near future with some ways that we're going to have to bring the Anderson Fire Protection District budget-wise into the 21st century because we're just not making it.
Right. There are certain there's two things that impact us. There are federal regulations, law, that we have to abide by. There are also national standards, that everything that we do will be judged by national standards. And what is everybody else doing? So, and to touch on that, let me touch about with our volunteers. I've had a couple calls of why we've disbanded our volunteers. And we haven't disbanded our volunteers. We have a couple volunteers, but we've switched over to more of a reserve type program where we've brought on experienced firefighters that are already trained, and they work for other agencies and they do reserve time with us. We have volunteers that have to meet certain requirements. That you just can't take somebody off the street and put them on a truck and say, okay, you're now a volunteer with this fire department. There are numerous restrictions to that. There's numerous training. There's numerous requirements, mandatory. So in light of
and ongoing.
Right, and ongoing. So it's not only is it costly, it's you know, you've got to look at what you're getting, that benefit. And as I came in, one of the things that I had noticed is that we had people that were working in key positions that hadn't been through background investigations. They hadn't been through medical evaluations. And so we didn't cancel the program. What I did was I stopped the program until every one of our volunteers could go through a medical physical evaluation and a background check, those that hadn't done that. And many of our volunteers failed
Either or both.
And so we could not have somebody working on a vehicle coming out to your house that had a criminal history. I'm not going to allow that. And that's a breach of trust between the community and the fire department.
And you know, Rick, bigger than just the Anderson Fire Protection District, is always that Shasta County is made up of a lot of different kinds of fire departments. You know, we have City of Reading Fire Department. We have several special districts, as the City of Anderson is. And then we have the county fire system, which is basically a contract with Cal Fire.
Right.
And our communities throughout Shasta County that are a part of the county fire system, are volunteer departments. Those volunteers out there, and I know it's a constant battle in all those communities to keep bodies there. Those volunteers have to meet that same rigorous training standard, background checks, all the things that all of those little departments all across, you know, 3,250 square miles, which is what this county is, and trying to provide fire protection in an adequate manner with volunteers is very challenging because it's a big time commitment and money commitment on the part of the departments and on the part of the individuals.
It is, and it's, you know, it just seems that everybody's getting busier and busier every day, and you know, it's a unique situation here. I come out of an area that didn't have a county fire department. It was covered by special districts and municipalities, and I also come from an area that was very resource rich.
To Shasta County.
There were no resources lacking, and of course it was a paradigm change for me to come up here to a very resource light area that doesn't have a lot of money.
Resource light, yeah. Well, that's very nicely put.
So it's been a real challenge, but you know, we've developed partnerships and relationships, and I think that's key to the success in Shasta County. Is there isn't anybody here that can do it by themselves, and even the City of Reading, they're a municipal fire department. And they're a great department. I love those guys, you know. But there are times that they get multiple fires going that's it. That's all they have.
Well, the city of Reading, they're stretched thin. They've had to close a couple of stations. They don't have as many people on the fire trucks as they'd right. like to have. As you indicate, resource thin throughout the county.
And let me back up to that. In defense of Reading, I don't think it's what they would like to have.
Oh, absolutely not.
It's what actually is the standard. And when you look at the NFPA standards, which aren't law, but they are recommendations, I come out of an area that to be part of the Automatic Aid Consortium in Maricopa County, which is a 9,300 square mile county, it's about three times the size of Shasta County, about 3 million population, you had to meet certain standards. Was four people on an engine, four people on a truck, two paramedics, two EMTs, minimum. Those were the minimum standards. And so the city of Reading, I think, is trying to reach those standards that are just the minimums of what is out there. Yeah. And for a city their size, they should be. And I, you know, again, I don't want to get into the politics of that, but we are lacking in the ability to do the job that we should be doing better because of our lack of resources and people on the trucks.
Yeah. Good point. And we'll continue this conversation a little later, but right now we're going to take a break and pay some bills, and we'll be back.
This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy and his crew of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition. I beg your pardon. Free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. Register online at readingccw.com. That's readingccw.com. Or call NFI at 999-1822. Free Fire Radio continues after this.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
From simple line-drawn cartoons to 3D modeling used in today's movies, explore the entertaining worlds of animation at Get Animated, only at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Do you love Steamboat Willie or Toothless the Dragon? Learn the stories behind some of your favorite animated characters. Take a photo with Poe the Panda, or try your hand at animation techniques used by Disney, DreamWorks, Sony, and more. Get Animated is presented by Reading Kia Subaru. Visit turtlebay.org for park hours and information. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
For 24 years, we have celebrated, and now it's time for the 25th Redding Area Stillwater Powwow, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Experience dancers, drummers, hand games, drum contests, as well as the history of our land. Proudly sponsored by the Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The 25th Annual Redding Rancheria Stillwater Powwow 2015, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
And welcome back to KCNR, 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room, kcnr1460.com, or give us a call at 605-4567. And we're joined now with two of my favorite people, Mark Story and Diane Herner, and we're going to talk Bark, Wine, and Brew. Great event coming up. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
You're
welcome. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
It's been a while.
Uh-huh.
So Saturday, October 3rd at the Wind River Casino Resort and Event Center, or at the Event Center there, we are going to have our Bark, Wine, and Brew. And this is our big annual fundraiser, as you know. One of our big sponsors this year, I do want to throw a shout out to KRCR Channel 7, who was a big sponsor this year for the event. We really appreciate that, along with tons of other sponsors. And if you come out, we're going to announce all of them there, I promise. I've got Diane here. She's our new director of development. She started a few months ago, and so she's heading this program up. And so I'm going to let her talk a little bit about Bark, Wine, and Brew.
Bark, Wine, and Brew, one of these great, and I always want to say Haven Humane. This is, everybody who loves animals needs to be involved in this and help with Haven Humane, because it's one of the big organizations that really takes care of those little furry animals in our community.
Good morning.
Good morning, Diane. What's going on? What we got coming up for the public?
Well, Saturday, October 3rd at 5:30, our event will begin. It's a ticketless event this year, and you can purchase tickets online at havenhumane.org. Our tickets are $40. And we also have top dog tables for $600 that gets a little bit more fun things. You're going to be up front. You're going to have some champagne with your table and some signage at the event.
Okay, so we got a big dinner, and then we got a raffle and an auction.
Right, we have a big dinner, and then we also have wine sampling, beer sampling, and some appetizers before the dinner.
Wow, and that's all included in your $40 ticket?
Yes, it is.
Perfect. Perfect.
And then we're going to have a couple raffles. We're raffling off a GoPro Hero Silver, and then we're also raffling off 4 annual passes to Six Flags. So a couple of really fun items. We're going to be doing balloon items. So there's going to be mystery items and balloons that you get a pop at the event. And then we have a lot of amazing silent auction items and live items.
And the silent auction, that gives you an opportunity to really go around and see what's there. I want to warn everybody, I'm going to be selling raffle tickets, so when you see me, just get your wallet out, because I'm not taking no for an answer. So when you come in the door, you need to be prepared. You buy your ticket, and then you bring raffle money. I mean, you just need to do that, because that's part of the game.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So what else we got?
So we've got some great live items. I'm really excited about this. We have a dinner for eight at a private residence prepared by View 202's executive chef.
Oh, wow.
So you can invite yourself and 7 guests for a private evening of great wine and dining. And we also have, a couple of Tahoe packages. We have a ski package for 3 nights in a 2-bedroom condo. Then we also have a 3-bedroom condo in Tahoe for 3 nights, and that's at any time of the year. We have a timeshare in San Diego. We have a couple nights at Bally's in Las Vegas. We have a Sonoma County vacation. We have Napa Valley wine tasting. We also have a Mount Shasta house for a couple nights. So we have some really great, exciting live packages.
That's absolutely fantastic. And, talk about some of the things that Haven does in the community with this money and what we're raising it for. What are the needs?
Yeah, so we have lots of needs at Haven. And you've been to every Bark, Wine, and Brew since I've been here, Trish, which is great. And you know that I do the slideshow every year, and the slideshow shows kind of what we do. And it's obviously I can't show everything that we do in a 10-minute slideshow, but I do the best I can with that. And so the slideshow shows, you know, where that money goes to. It shows a lot of the animals that were adopted, and it shows their forever families with them, which is great. But it also shows us helping with the disasters, our spay-neuter clinic, us helping with Project Healthy Community, helping with the animals that need medical needs that don't have owners through our Misty Lee account, the PALS fund where we adopt out senior animals, as well as animals to seniors with at a discount. And that's all thanks to Chris Sawaga and the PALS Fund. And there's all kinds of other stuff we do. But, you know, our staff is busy every single day. And, Trish, you've been there. You've seen how much we do. And I think that I encourage people that want to learn more to email me, give me a call, come by for a tour. I love giving tours and really see what Haven's about, because we do a lot more than people really think that we do. And so that's what Bark, Wine, and Brew is about. It's our chance to celebrate our successes and celebrate with our supporters and the community that's so supportive of us, and show them where their money goes to. I'm really excited about the slideshow. Every year I have to bring it up a little bit and do something to surprise folks. And this year the slideshow is going to be good. It's going to be shorter than last year, because last year was too long. I kind of made it too long last year. But on top of that, we took a very popular song, and I don't really want to ruin anything, but we took a very popular song, and we rewrote it, and we re-recorded it, and we did a video with the staff. And so it's going to be a fun video just to show the human side of Haven, because I think a lot of time that gets lost, unfortunately.
Yeah, you hit on one thing, and certainly we're well aware now of these devastating fires that are surrounding our community, and how what a huge need there is when this happens with the animals. People have, right. In Shasta County, we have lots of animals that need protection, and you play a really big part in that. And certainly Chief Weigel can speak to, you get a fire going like that, there's so many needs. One of the things is the animals.
Right, and that's something that we really can't do. We can't handle that because we're trying to either evacuate people or save property or... But you're right. There is a big need for somebody to be there to remove those animals safely and to get them out. I don't know if you guys saw the story about the firefighters that rescued the two dogs that were missing. The one had its paws were burned, and it's a pretty nice story.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's, you know, that doesn't happen all the time. So, and I've been on some big fires where we've had to move horses and large animals away from impending fire, and it's not something that we can do. We're not outfitted to do that. So you guys are heroes when you get out there.
And I think that's probably part of the dispatch system in Shasta County, that if we got a thing like going like that, I bet you guys are called.
Yeah, we're part of the team out there, and it's one big team out there for sure. And you know, this year I want to thank John Tosello over at Redding Grange too, because thanks to the Redding Grange, we've gotten. Yeah, JT gave us, kind of hooked us up, and we've got a couple grants working on the third one now, and it's for exactly that. It's for helping with fire disasters and evacuations. And so far this year, we've gotten more lead ropes and halters for exactly what we're talking about with those horses, because, you know, we need to catch those guys and help out. We also got some pamphlets to talk about that we're handing out that talk about how to prepare for it, you know. Don't load your horse up in a trailer the first time during an evacuation. Let's plan ahead for it. You know, do you have a trailer? Do you have a friend with a trailer? That kind of stuff. Because, you know, when the evacuation comes, it's too late. If you're not prepared, it's too late.
You need to know what you're going to do in advance.
Yeah. And so, you know, so that you know, whenever a fire happens, like the one that just happened recently, you know, when we get a call, we immediately respond with everybody that we have available. And we just go check in with the sheriff's department and say, where do you want us? And we head into the fire zone as well. And so the firefighters are great because they all recognize us and they know what we're doing there. And we go in there and try and stay out of their way as much as possible. But at the same time, we're checking for the animals and we're pulling them out. I mean, I know the fire a couple of years ago in Happy Valley, you know, we pulled out a lot of animals and helped out with the sheriff's department. So the sheriff's department runs it, and we just are there to assist them. But, we're definitely a big part of it.
Good.
So.
Yeah, so we talked earlier about the cooperation level in Shasta County, and that's why we do as good a job with the things in Shasta County, the public safety that we do, is the cooperation of all the agencies, because it's resource light area, I believe
resource,
referred to
resource light cooperation heavy.
I think that's our secret. We need to do something about that resource, and we're always striving to do that, which is what we're talking about this morning with the Bark, Wine, and Brew.
And I do want to say, too, I do want to say that I think we're blessed to be in this community, because anytime there is a disaster, it's crazy to me. We get up there as soon as we can, and, you know, we got to mobilize and get our vehicles together just like every other resource does as well. And by the time we get up there, it's amazing to see how many different agencies are already there. and how many people have already responded. So although we are resource light, and it would be nice if we had more resources, I can tell people with 100% confidence that we absolutely use our resources to the best of our abilities.
Yeah.
And thanks to that, I think that we're very fortunate to have the people that we have that work so hard to make sure that we do the most we can with what we have.
Okay. Well, thanks again for coming in. And remember, October 3rd, get that
October
on your 3rd, card.
Yes. Havenhumane.org. You can get the tickets. They're $40. They are going fast. And because of that, every day we get closer to North State with No More Homeless Pets. And so this is your chance to come out, have a great evening, have some good food, some beer, some wine, watch some cool videos, listen to a great auctioneer. Lou White's going to be there with his band. There's going to be dancing afterwards. So it's a fun night to celebrate our successes and come support us. So please come on out.
All right. Thanks very much. Good night to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And we'll be right back.
This portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry on Hilltop Drive in Reading, 222-2750. They're a full-service jewelry store providing the finest selection of jewelry in Northern California. Four Winds Jewelry, it's where Linda goes for her special needs, and it's where you should too. Proud sponsor of Free Fire Radio, Four Winds Jewelry.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Space Available. When Whitney, a Tri-Counties Bank teller, noticed property owner Roberta Savelli depositing rent checks, a little bell went off. She thought Roberta might want to learn about the commercial lending programs available at Tri-Counties Bank. So she walked Roberta over and introduced her to Ken Rory, a Tri-Counties Bank business relationship manager. After a thorough review, Ken and his astute loan team discovered better financing options for her rental properties and saved Roberta a bundle in loan payments, increasing her cash flow and allowing her to acquire more properties. Signs point to a thriving future. Commercial real estate financing, cash management services, space to grow. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank, service with solutions. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 458732.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane of Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And welcome back. This is KCNR, 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. KCNR1460.com if you'd like to jump into the chat room, or give us a call at 605-4567. Got a lot of things going on this morning, as always when we do Free Fire Radio, and we're joined now by Dr. Sandhu, and she's going to talk about diabetes. Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. We need to get right away. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. And so what do we got going on here, Dr. Sandhu?
Depends on what you would like to know about diabetes. It's an epidemic in our country right now. The most recent statistics say that about 50% of adult Americans, and I'm only talking about adult onset type 2 diabetes, 50% of all adult Americans have either diabetes type 2 or prediabetes.
Is there more people being recognized as having diabetes, or are we doing something different in our lifestyles to affect more people?
There was an interesting increase in obesity between the year 1980 and 2000. The 20 years, our obesity doubled in this country. And 10 years later, now we are looking at diabetes, which has gone to, as I said earlier, epidemic levels.
So, I can't believe you said that, because I've been screamed at for suggesting that perhaps the reason is people have too much weight to pack it.
Yes. Weight is a lifestyle, sedentary lifestyles. I will tell you who is at risk for diabetes. Obesity, people who are overweight and morbidly obese. People with family history of diabetes. Sedentary lifestyles. Of course, age. As we get older, we are more prone to diabetes. Race also plays a big factor. Mostly we see more diabetes in African Americans, Mexican Americans, Native Americans, Hawaiians, Pacific Islanders, Asians when compared with Caucasians. Gender also plays a role. Interestingly, men are more prone to diabetes, but after menopause, women come to the same level.
How it seems to me that we have a lot more diabetes in our young children than I remember before.
Type 1 diabetes is totally different from type 2, but you are absolutely right. Diabetes is moving into younger and younger Americans, and a lot of that has to, again, do with lifestyle and weight.
Sedentary lifestyle, sitting in front of a computer, sitting playing with your games instead of being outside and active and...
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
Get them off that, away from those machines and outside physical activity.
Absolutely. Playing, eating healthier foods. Our food industry is not up to par with healthy lifestyle. Lot of preservatives, lot of carbs, refined starches, sugars, sugary drinks. All of that contribute to poor nutrition and weight gain.
Well, you know, a lot of my friends are going to think this is a setup, because you're talking my language here. I'm always about the fruits and vegetables and no packaged food and what do you mean potatoes from scratch? Who doesn't make mashed potatoes from scratch or macaroni and cheese? What do you mean you get it out of a box? I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when I talk to my patients about lifestyle changes, I tell them, and I hope that the food industry does not get after me, that stay away from the aisles. Go around to the produce. Get healthier foods. Mm-hmm. Make your own food. It does not take long to cook from scratch.
No.
I have led a very active life. I'm a mother of 3 children and always busy. But we have always cooked meals at home and from scratch. It does not take much, and you are eating healthier. You feel good. Try eating a salad for lunch and try eating a Big Mac. See how you feel in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel much better if you had a salad.
That's absolutely true. And you know, there are so many marvelous things that you can add to that salad instead of the bottle of of dressing that you get in the store, oils and vinegars and all kinds of low salt or no salt seasonings and garlic and wonderful things that you
absolutely
can, and lemon juice,
lime juice.
Exactly.
Yes.
That you season with, yes, and you come up with marvelous flavors and none of the preservatives and none of the stuff that, like you say, tires
right
you out and makes you want to sleep in the afternoon.
Salads are supposed to be green. You can add red or yellow, but from fruits and vegetables. They are not supposed to be loaded with
ham and cheese and
exactly.
Now you're talking. I know. I love it when they
go,
I'm going to have a salad today, and they have, what is that? It's got hard-boiled eggs and ham and salad.
Maybe a Cobb salad.
Yeah. And it's like got 800 calories in it. I mean, this
or 1,000. Yes,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And then they slap a little Roquefort dressing on the top of that. And
this is a healthy lunch?
No.
There is a wonderful book available. It's called What Color Is Your Food? And it makes a big difference. We all talk about antioxidants, healthy living. And if you can add color to your food, stay away from white food, you are eating very healthy. And you are getting your daily dose and more of antioxidants. Try to get your nutrition and your supplements from your food. Now, I'm going away a little bit from today's topic. But by doing that, you don't have to depend on supplements and vitamins. Get it from your food because it's more bioavailable to your body,
mm-hmm,
rather than a pill which may or may not dissolve in your system.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot of the stuff that we take, if we're not taking it appropriately, if you're taking it with other chemicals at the same time, there's a lot to know if you're going to supplement your diet. But it is easier to eat the fruits and vegetables, and I believe, now you may correct me, but I believe you need a balanced diet, moderation. You need a little bit of everything.
Moderation is the key in life. We can't go to one extreme to the other, and we as American society tend to do that.
Yes, we do. There's one fad after another.
We go through fads. Yes, absolutely. We go through fads.
I mean, it's amazing that a while back nobody was allergic to gluten, and now everybody's allergic to gluten.
That's right.
Or one thing or another, and I think that we tend to go in eating habits. All of a sudden I see all the aisles stocked with all the boxes of stuff that is gluten-free.
Absolutely. That's a new fad.
Yeah, that's the new fad. And a while before it was, salt and everything, and now finally they're recognizing
that
there's way too much salt in food.
Right. It's not the salt, it's the sodium in food.
The sodium, exactly.
Which is used as a preservative in a lot of foods.
Yes. One of the things I always found interesting is I don't eat ham and I don't eat sausage and what have you, except when I'm in Europe. And I do when I'm there, but they smoke their meat. They don't use so much sodium in the process.
The food is different. Eating habits are different over there. And how the food is preserved is very different. Most of the people eat very fresh food. They go shopping pretty much every day, not once a month. And food is more perishable there. You know,
yeah,
you eat it
today.
They
don't expect it to last forever.
Forever, yes.
Yeah. So we've got about a minute left. What do you want us to know about diabetes that we didn't cover?
Well, we are doing an event on Saturday about community education on diabetes. It's going to be at 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning until 12. I'm going to have I'm going to talk about diabetes, and I'm going to have these three wonderful ladies who will be talking about healthy lifestyle. They are dietitians, nutritionists. Key is to prevent diabetes.
And where is this?
This is on Gold Street. I think you have the address over there.
Yes, I do. It's the Gold Street Medical Building, room 700. That's 1760 Gold Street, It's on Saturday, September 19th, from 8:30 till 12.
That is correct.
Everything you want to know about diabetes and how to prevent it.
Right. And we will be serving a healthy breakfast. And it's free of cost to the community.
Okay. And you can get more information at 243-1414. Thank you very much, Doctor, for coming in. We're going to take a break now. We'll be back on the other side at 9 o'clock with Free Fire Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon. The GOP-Reagan library debate featured both serious policy issues and personal barbs. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
There was plenty of bickering in the primetime debate, including between Donald Trump and Jeb Bush.
One second.
No.
I
the
didn't want to...
Yeah, Donald,
oh,
you cannot take...
More energy tonight. I like that.
But there also was plenty of substance about Russia, immigration, and taxes. Moral issues, including abortion and same-sex marriage, also were topics of debate. Greg Cluxton at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California.
A separate debate prior to the primetime event also was held at the Reagan Library. George Pataki, Rick Santorum, Bobby Jindal, and Lindsey Graham took part in that debate. President Obama is huddling with Democratic House and Senate leaders today to strategize about how to avoid a partial government shutdown on October 1st. Some Republican lawmakers have been threatening a shutdown over funding for Planned Parenthood. Critics of the Iran nuclear deal will try again today to force the Senate to take up the measure.
Arkansas Republican Tom Cotton warning of grave consequences if Democrats continue to block a vote.
When Iran detonates a nuclear device, these Democrats will bear responsibility.
Michigan's Debbie Stabenow accusing Republicans of politics by coupling today's vote with a demand for the release of former Marine Amir Hekmati and three other Americans.
How does it show respect for Amir's mom and dad to use their son's rights and possibly threaten what is the negotiations that are going on now?
The 60-day congressional review period expires today.
That's correspondent Wally Hines. Crews are looking for at least four people reported missing in a Northern California wildfire that has been burning since Saturday. The San Francisco Chronicle reports the death toll could rise in the 109-square-mile Lake County fire that left a disabled woman dead. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Everyone is talking about War Room.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my War Room.
Hi, this is Alex Kendrick, co-writer and director of War Room. Pray with us that God continues to use it to impact millions more for His glory.
War Room, starring Alex Kendrick, Priscilla Shirer, and T.C. Stallings.
You need to do your fighting in prayer.
War Room, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Tickets and showtimes at warroomthemovie.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The ACLU of Hawaii has filed a federal lawsuit against the city of Honolulu, claiming city officials there deprived homeless people of food and other belongings during raids on their encampments. Daniel Gluck is the ACLU's local legal director.
The Constitution prohibits what the city has done repeatedly to our clients, which is to come up to them and seize and destroy their property without any recourse whatsoever.
Several children identified by just their initials were listed as plaintiffs in the lawsuit, which says they have gone hungry after city raids where food stored by their parents was thrown out. An 8.3 magnitude earthquake off the coast of northern Chile has killed at least five people and left one person missing. Authorities have been assessing the damage in several coastal towns that saw flooding from small tsunamis set off by the quake. Hawaii and parts of California's coast are under tsunami advisories. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon. The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits fell last week to the lowest level in 2 months.
The Labor Department says weekly applications for unemployment aid fell by 11,000 to a seasonally adjusted 264,000. That's the lowest level since July, when applications declined to a 41-year low. Americans are enjoying solid job security as applications have been below 300,000 for the past 6 months. Employers have also been hiring at a solid pace, adding an average of 243,000 a month in the past 12 months.
Correspondent Jeremy House. A hearing is underway in Texas to determine if Sergeant Bo Bergdahl should face a military trial for leaving his post in Afghanistan in June 2009. The hearing at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio will determine if Bergdahl will face a court-martial on charges of desertion. He's also charged with misbehavior before the enemy. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And good morning. It is Thursday. It's 8:05, and we are KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. This is Trish Clark, because it's Thursday, and it's always Trish Clark, and usually co-hosting with Carl, but this morning my co-host is Chief Rick Weigel from the Anderson Fire Protection District.
Oh.
Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
And it's still a blistery, almost kind of fall day out there. And what's the weather looking like for the rest of the day?
Well, hello, Trish. Good morning. 77 degrees for the high today. So enjoy it while you can, because tomorrow, Friday, it jumps right back up to 90 degrees. And as we bump into the weekend, we will be flirting with the century mark. No rain in sight for the next several days. Looks like we've gotten everything we're going to get out of this one. High temperatures will moderate back down into the 80s as we move into next week. Currently, it is 53 in Reading, and the report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They offer senior and veterans discounts. Shasta Gas Propane.
Well, and I want to welcome all those people out there in the chat room at KCNR1460.com, and hopefully we're giving you some information that you just can't live without. And if you have a question, give us a call at 605-4567. So we've been talking about fire in general and the Anderson Fire Protection District. And one of the things I want to talk about is these fires that we've had surrounding us all around, and the impact that has on the resources in Shasta County. How involved does that... When we've got these fires burning all around us, how does that impact our local fire department?
Well, it's a couple ways. Number one, there's immediate needs to go out and help the neighbors, because if it's in our area, we get immediate help back. So there's a great automatic aid, mutual aid program here throughout Shasta County. But bigger than that, the statewide process of mutual aid is also great. We have two engines right now that are actually out on fires. We have one at the Butte Fire, and we have one at the Valley Fire in Napa. And they were originally at the Rough Fire, and which was east of Fresno, out near Hume Lake. They've been redirected to the Valley Fire. So we have two crews out there. We have one crew back here that is working nonstop. So we have coverage for the district, and we have two engines that are actually out on the fires. And I think almost every agency in Shasta County has people and equipment out somewhere. I read yesterday that there are over 10,000 firefighters in California alone fighting the fires, that every department in the state of California had somebody out on one of these fires. So regionally... I mean, it's a good system. We are resource light, so we offer up what we can, and then now we're at a situation. Well, we were at a situation. We had a fire in Igo the other day. I think it was last Friday, and we were very short staffed. Because it was immediate needs, the nature of it, we sent one Type 3 engine, and then we backfilled our Type 1 engine in the station with one of our deputy chief out of fire prevention, and we had a one of our reserves from San Mateo County that was up working, and then one of our volunteers. So we actually had three people on the engine. We sent an engine. So now we had three engines out. We were pretty stripped.
Exactly. And I'll just for the public out there, I want you to know that one of the people that gets assigned to that engine on a regular basis is our chief. He is a working chief, which is great because I think we lead by example. I'm sure, not sure it. I won't say that because I know he does enjoy it because I've been around firefighters all my life and they really like what they do, and so he's not complaining a lot about being able to actually go out and fight fire.
No, I'm not complaining. I get a little tired every once in a while, but it's a great system up here. Like I said, we are resource light, but what really helps overcome that, Trish, is the attitudes towards each other's agencies. And I know when we had the fire on Stingy Lane, you know, we had engines from all over, including the city of Reading, and city of Reading, BC, was doing our media stuff because we were tied up in the command vehicle, and then at the Kent's fire up in the city of Reading, I did the PIO work for them because they were committed to. So the way we help each other out, you know, whether it's Cal Fire, whether it's Reading, whether it's Happy Valley, Cottonwood, all the ones that border us, we have, we do whatever it takes to help each other out.
And it's important that in order for that system to work well, each agency has to have confidence in the other agencies that are responding and willing to turn over control of a fire that's in their jurisdiction to somebody from out of the agency. There has to be that mutual confidence and respect, and I think that's great that we're now a part of that system.
And my philosophy has been when I first got here that if there's a fire in our where we have authority, and it's a Cal Fire battalion chief or a Reading chief officer is there first, I'm not going to take the incident away from them. I'm going to come in and work for them. Even though I'm the fire chief, I'll still put my turnouts on. I'll work for them. I'll sit in the right seat of the vehicle and help them with the incident. That's what automatic aid really is about. That's what mutual aid is about. But there has to be that level of trust, level of training, level of experience, level of relationship where you can do that.
That's right.
So
let's jump to another subject. Youth firefighter promotion or prevention and intervention.
Yes, the Youth Fire Setter Prevention and Intervention Program is a program that's up here, and I wasn't aware of it prior to coming up here, but every day I learn something more up here. And there's a group of folks up here that includes multiple agencies that are a part of this, and Anderson is a part of this also. And basically it's a group of people that want to capture these youth fire setters and get them through a type of program that so they don't become arsonists and those career offenders out there. And I want to read some statistics to you that I have from them. And I want to thank JT, the local Shasta County Cal Fire fire marshal, for giving me this information. Almost 50,000 fires are started by unsupervised children that result in around approximately 80 civilian deaths, 860 civilian injuries, and over $235 million in direct property damage. And this is
kids playing with matches.
Just playing with matches. These are NFPA. This is data from the NFPA. Younger children were more likely to start fires in homes, and older children and teens tend to set fires outside. Lighters were the heat source in over 52% of fires in homes, and the most common heat source overall with fires caused by playing with fire.
Yeah, so child-proof lighters.
There you go. Well, you got to take the cap off, you know. No, I'm just kidding. Playing with fire was responsible for over 7,100 home structure fires per year.
Wow.
So you think about that, 7,100 homes per year burn because kids play with matches.
And I don't think people realize that. I remember as a when my son was very young, a couple of the neighbor kids, he and his little friend, they were like five, and one of the older kids was playing around in the backyard, and he picked up a lighter and what have you, and they started a little fire in the backyard. And we called the fire department, and they came out. We put it out, but we had the fire chief come out, and those two little five-year-olds, one of them ended up to be a fireman, but he never played with fire again. They just scared the heck out of him.
You know, we had a program in Prescott, and when I was there, and I was actually a fire captain, paramedic on the engine, and both my sons had this fascination with fire, and so one of my boys even actually started a little grass fire in Prescott, small one in a gully. But what I did is I took him home and I sat him on the porch, and I went to the store and I bought 1,000 matches, stick matches. And I put a coffee can with water on the porch, and I said, "Hey, so you want to light some matches?" And he said, "Oh yeah," you know. And his eyes lit up, and I said, "Okay, here, just light the match and put it in the can." And so he'd light the match, and after about 20 matches, it wasn't fun anymore. And I sat there and made him go through almost 2,000, because I'd gone and bought more, almost 2,000 matches, and he was actually crying, lighting matches and putting them in the water. And I made him go through those thousands of matches, and he grew up to be a fireman, so
yeah,
but he never played with matches after that.
Well, you take the fascination away. I love it, because I think that so often we think we teach our children by hiding things from them, or if they don't ever have it. I kind of can go with guns in the same way. I think that all children should know, go out and do the whole watermelon thing with a gun and see. You know, teach them what actually happens with a gun rather than try to hope they never find one.
Right.
Yeah.
And we should take our quarter break.
Oh, yes. You're right. We should pay some bills.
816 KCNR 1460, the home of Community Talk Radio. And, of course, you can weigh in on the conversation at 605-4567. And this portion of the program is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years. Outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Warranties, guarantees, they have 7-day-a-week and 24-hour service. Alliance Heating and Air, call 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your deliveries. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchard. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Get your daily dose of caffeine and support Turtle Bay Exploration Park at Caffeinate for a Cause. On Thursday, September 17th, Dutch Bros locations in Reading and Palisadro will be taken over by local celebrities to serve as your baristas and help raise money for Turtle Bay. Stop by any location between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. to support your favorite exploration park. Make sure you like Turtle Bay on Facebook and meet your celebrities. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Teach your children well, their father's health. It's slowly go by.
It is 820 on KCNR, 1460. And, of course, you can call in and take part in the program at 605-4567. This portion of the program is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. They give senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. Also, a shout-out to our friends at Cicada Cantino up on Hilltop Drive. You can call them at 638-4979 for reservations. They offer some excellent, what they call fusion food up there. It's not just the Mexican that you're used to. Their featured entrees include pollo poblano, chili relleno, steak fajita. The featured drinks are the prickly pear, the mango mantra, Nate's watermelon mojito, and so much more. Great food and drinks with family and friends. 1691 Hilltop Drive, Cicada's, a great place to go and a sponsor of Free Fire Radio.
Okay, and welcome back. It is Thursday, and this is Trish Clark, and always on Thursdays. And Carl and Linda are out of town and enjoying some much-needed recreation time, and so we're filling in here today, and tomorrow I'll be here as well. So this morning, my co-host is Chief Rick Weigel from the Anderson Fire Protection District, and we're just kind of talking about fire in general and things in the Anderson Fire Protection District, and we were talking as we went to break about the Youth Firefighter Prevention and Intervention Program.
Yes, Youth Firefighter Prevention and Intervention Program. It's in partnership with the Shasta County Arson Task Force here, and the Shasta County Arson Task Force is a group of collective fire departments here in Shasta County that have folks with that expertise and that training get together, and they look at some of the trends and things that are happening. When we have a fire in Anderson that might be of a serious nature, our two investigators will go out there. We investigate every fire in the fire district. We have that ability to call extra resources from that task force. And so because we're a part of that, we'll more times than not, we'll get somebody from Cal Fire or Reading will come down, one of their arson investigators or a couple of them, and assist us with fires or questions. So it's kind of a collective group of experts that get together and talk and meet and help each other out throughout the. So we're really fortunate in this county, I think, to have this group. But they are in partnership here with YFPI, and the coordinator is Jazz Shaw. And I'm going to give you that phone number in case there's anybody out there that has an issue with some of their children that may be curious about fire, or there may be some signs that something's going on there. And that number is 244-7194. And again, that's Jazz Shaw. She's the coordinator. So, but if I've got a moment, I'd like to just throw out a couple warning signs to
people
out
there. Okay, yeah, that'd be great. Because I think that kids are naturally curious. And if you've got a child, either in your own household or someone you know, good tips to look for.
And the kids are curious. Then there's another group that there's some delinquent. And then there's another group, that third group, where it's a very small percent that are actually, you know, they're going to do bad things. But if you're out there and you've got kids, these are some of the warning signs that your child might be playing with fire. Burning leaves or fireworks, discarded matches or lighters in their rooms, around the house, burn holes, burn odor on their clothing or their toys, smell of smoke or something burning, small fires on school grounds, trash can fires at home or at school, forts with evidence of fire. I know when I was a kid growing up, we built a fort in the canyon, and we started fires down there. I mean, we cooked food, we burned things, and we ended up starting the fort on fire and getting out with our lives as the San Diego Fire Department. Maybe I shouldn't tell you where it was at because it might still be
but the statute of limitations.
Yes, what are the statute of limitations? But we set fire to the fort caught on fire, and we got out of there with our hair burning. And,
oh, my gosh.
And the next thing I know, here I am a fire chief. But that time I was running from the police and the fire department because we set the side of the canyon on fire. And so...
Wow.
You know, you can be rehabilitated.
Well, and you know, I think it, again, the education, if you can make them aware of what they're doing and how bad it can be, then that's part of the solution.
Right. And some of the other things, if they have a fascination with fire, if they're lighting combustible things, if they're carrying, you know, kind of unnatural or weird fire stuff on their cell phones, things like that, give this group a call, because it early intervention is better than having to sit on the curb across the street from your house while we're cleaning everything up and putting the fire out. So if you have some of these things, if your child's exhibiting some of these things, give this group a call or your local fire department, and we'll refer them to the program.
Is arson a huge problem in Shasta County? I mean, do we have a lot of fires over the course of a year that are arson started?
Well, I can't give you the statistics because I don't want to make that up. I don't know what the actual statistics are. It seems to me that, yes, we do. We have I've been here since October of last year, and I think it was in December, we put two of our folks through the PC 832 class. They've already had some arson investigation training and experience, and we started investigating every fire that we have, small or large. And our investigators have made 17 arrests here.
Wow.
in Anderson. So I don't know what Shasta County or Cal Fire has done, or Redding, or some of the other fire districts, how many arson arrests they've made, but we've got 17 just for things like that. We do have an issue with the homeless encampments. We seem to have a lot of fires out there. We had about a 5-acre fire the other night that was started, an arson fire up by the vineyards, which had the potential to run and do some major damage with the quick work of our guys, Anderson, Cottonwood, Cal Fire, Shasta County. We were able to get a quick handle on it.
And I think what everybody needs to be aware of, and we just can't say it often enough, is, okay, we got a little bit of rain here, didn't do enough to do anything to help the situation.
No.
And right now we're a tinderbox. Any of these fires has the potential. Any little fire started on the side of the road or in your backyard or anything has the potential to be devastating, because they're burning hot, fire behavior that nobody's seen before. And we're not near out of it yet. Historically, our fires go September, October. We're just not out of it, people. And so don't get relaxed that all of a sudden we had a little rain and now it's all good. It's going right up to 100 this weekend, and we're still in the middle of fire danger.
Yeah, actually, the rain's probably going to make it worse for us if it doesn't come back. So,
yeah.
You know, it'll get all the light fuels growing again. And so, yeah, we do need that rain.
And it did, no predictable. I mean, there's nothing looking. And I don't know. I even saw something the other day. I was kind of counting on El Nino, and now it's looking like it's not gonna, do much up here. Yeah. It's warmer than normal is what the prediction was. I thought that's kind of not what we were looking for at all. We're looking for some snow and rain this winter, and we hope that's going to happen.
I hope so.
Yeah. So, okay, we're going to take go into an early break here, and we're going to come back. We got a bunch of other stuff we're going to talk about on the other side.
And Trish caught me a little bit off guard there. You just wanted to see if I'd catch up and tell everybody about Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold, 2463 Athens Avenue in Reading, 244-9478. Cypress Square Barbershop, well, that is where Carl gets his haircut, is where I get my haircut. And, gentlemen, maybe it's where you need to get yours cut as well. Cypress Square Barbershop.
Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Get quality Mohawk flooring in your home right now at Shasta Lake Floors and pay no interest until January 2018. Hi, this is Pete with Shasta Lake Floors. It's Mohawk's anniversary sale now through October 26th, and you can get new Karastan Smart Strand silk carpet, wear-dated carpet fiber, or other Mohawk flooring in your home at big savings and pay no interest on your purchase. Luxurious Karastan Smart Strand silk carpet and wear-dated carpet fiber is tough-tested to meet or exceed your expectations. Karastan and Smart Strand silk carpet are the finest made in America, and Shasta Lake Floors has it at unbeatable prices. This sale includes Karastan and Smart Strand silk carpet, new wood flooring, tile, laminates, and any other Mohawk product installed by you or Shasta Lake Floors experienced flooring techs. All with no interest financing until January 2018. Come see us today at Shasta Lake Floors, voted best in the North State 8 years running, 4052 Shasta Dam Boulevard and the city of Shasta Lake. Financing subject to credit approval. See store for details.
That's me. Marty Stewart does it all.
Turn me on.
Honky-tonk, rockabilly, bluegrass, and straight-up country. It's Marty Stewart, and he's coming to the Cascade Theater Friday, September 18th.
Girl trying to steal my heart, and I'm tempted.
Don't miss five-time Grammy winner Marty Stewart in Reading, September 18th at the Cascade. Get tickets today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
It's time for better banking. A bank that makes your small business a priority. A bank that understands how to help your business succeed with professionals available for you and growth strategies for your businesses. Bank of Commerce is that bank. For over 30 years, Bank of Commerce has been the bank of choice for businesses. At Reading Bank of Commerce, we partner with your business to work with you on a plan that supports your vision and goals. Reading Bank of Commerce, bank of choice. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And at 8:33, this portion of the program is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, your place for great coffee and more at Espresso Joe's, serving caramel macchiato and every other coffee you can imagine. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. Tobacco and Brew, where veterans always get discounts. 8:33 on KCNR 1460, the home of Community Talk Radio. And now back to Trish Clark.
And good morning. This is Community Radio for the North State, and it is Trish Clark because it's Thursday, and it's always Trish Clark on Thursday. We don't have Carl this morning. We have Chief Rick Weigel from the Anderson Fire Protection District. We're talking fire and other things this morning. If you've got a phone call that you'd like to change the subject, or we'll talk about anything, 605-4567. And so we're just going to continue talking about stuff in fire in general. One of the things, Chief, you talked about a little earlier was the fact that we have a few volunteers, a couple of volunteers, but now we've gone to a program where we're using reserve firefighters. And so explain that a little bit more and why that's advantageous to us for a couple of reasons.
Well, first of all, let me state that I'm not anti-volunteer, as I've somewhat been accused by some in the community. Volunteers are the backbone of the American Fire Service, and I've recognized that. We have a little situation up here in Shasta County, as we talked about, with the light resources. The commitment time that it takes to take a volunteer off the street and get them through training to where they can actually respond out safely, with knowledge, with experience, that lead time is quite extensive. What we've done is we've switched over. We still have a couple.
Yeah, and there are also, if I just expand a bit, there's requirements for health insurance. There's requirements for workman's comp. There's right. All kinds of money involved
right.
with volunteers.
Right, and you know most of the volunteers they have other jobs. That's how they support their families and pay their bills. And so you have basically a cadre of folks that may be able to come back in the evening or at night or on weekends. And but it's not consistent. It's not reliable. And volunteers seem to be, you know, it seems to be getting harder and harder across the nation to get a cadre of experienced volunteers. So with that in mind, and what we've done is we've looked at a reserve program. And actually the reserve program, which is different, is that with the reserve program, we actually bring on experienced firefighters. They already have to be certified in all of these things. They already have to have their EMT. They have to have and meet the requirements that are required. So
because they're already working in other fire departments.
Right. And I'll give you an example. We have 14 to 16 reserves that are Cal Fire seasonals. So in the summertime, we know we're going to lose them because they're going to go back and work for Cal Fire. So when they come to work for us, we don't really pay them. What we do is we give them a reimbursement for their meals. So if they work two or three days in a week, we reimburse them an amount for their meals for those 3 days. We don't pay them an hourly wage. We don't pay them a stipend. We just, you know, and we may put them through some training. We may pay for a class for them to go if they have to go through a class that they want for a certification. If they've committed to a certain amount of days per month during the off season, then we have no problem paying for that class for that firefighter or bringing a class into Anderson for these firefighters from other agencies that are working as reserves. So we do things like that for them. The savings is incredible. I mean, with the volunteers, they were getting a certain amount for every time the pager went off. And so they would show up whether they were used or not. They still got callback pay for that. So it actually is a cheaper way to do things. And now we've got experienced people that come in and they work a shift. They come in, they sign up for three 24-hour shifts per month minimum. And so now we've got experienced firefighters on the vehicles that are signed up that's costing us just their meal reimbursements.
Yeah, much better program. Well, and we've got the new fire truck coming with the new ladder truck that's coming in.
Right.
And we've got a reserve that is retired that just moved up here.
Right. We have a 30-year veteran of the San Jose Fire Department that lives up here. And has now, we've hired him as a reserve battalion chief. He retired from the city of San Jose Fire Department as a battalion chief. He had, before he was a battalion chief, he was a captain on the ladder. He spent most of his career on a ladder truck. And so he'll come up, he'll be here, as a reserve battalion chief to work with us to respond back to emergencies, to do duty coverage, to work with some of the other agencies here in the valley. And
more importantly, train us on our new fire truck.
Exactly. He's going to be a hands-on person that will be training our folks. And all of the people in Anderson are going to go through a ladder academy before that truck gets here. Once that truck gets here, Trish, it'll be probably be at least 30 days before it's put into service, because nobody will be assigned to that truck or drive that truck until they've completed a full ladder academy. They've worked with we're working deals with Red Bluff to train with them and their ladder. We're working with the City of Redding to train with them. Matter of fact, this truck is basically going to duplicate as much as we can the equipment that's on Ladder 1 up here in the City of Redding. So
everybody will be familiar with it.
Exactly.
Good.
And so Redding has set the standard for the ladder for the truck company up here in the North State. We're looking to them. We've got their list of equipment, those kinds of things. So it's going to be a real close relationship of them also helping us with the training as we set that truck up to mirror theirs. When that truck goes to Redding or they come down, they'll be able to go through those cabinets, should have the same exact equipment in those cabinets as the ones that are in their cabinets. So there is some partnership going on through this.
I know one of the other things that I've noticed, and for just the benefit of the public out there, I was on the Anderson Fire Protection Board of Directors way back in the 80s, and I've kept in touch, because I'm very much a part of my community, with the department over the years, and we've been a sleepy little department down there for a while, and there were some things that needed to be done, and part of what we're doing with this program today is try to kind of educate the South County about the really good things that are happening and the deficiencies that we're finding in the department that are going to have to be corrected as we go along. We've been kind of borrowing from reserves in that department for a while to just keep functioning. There really isn't if you live in the Anderson Fire Protection District, you're not really paying very much for fire service. Right now it's costing you $20 a year for all of this and the fire, and you can see since the chief has been here, we've brought all of our vehicles up to standard. They're all safe now, and meeting requirements and having regular maintenance. We're kind of trying to get rid of some equipment that's costing us money and that's not really good. We've added another new engine, an OES engine that is a cooperative effort. Do you want to explain how we got that one?
Yes.
I want people to understand that we're not spending a lot of money buying a lot of new stuff, but we're operating a little smarter and a little wiser and more cooperative and getting stuff that we need, and we're going to need some help from the community along the way.
We call that creatively.
Okay.
We're being creative.
Yes.
We were awarded a brand new Type 3 engine, excuse me, from the Office of Emergency Services, the governor's OES engine, and there were five of them that were brought up and awarded to five different cities in Northern California. This is a Northern California Type 3 strike team that will go anywhere in the state when they deem necessary. The cities that received it were the City of Redding, Red Bluff, Susanville, Chico, and Anderson. So we do have a brand new fire truck that's actually in, I don't know where, I think it's in... I think it's outside of Sacramento right now. That one's on. Trying to keep track of where these guys are. But that truck is out with three of our firefighters right now. And that is it's a collective agreement there. We're able to use that truck to a certain extent locally as we have fires and things like that. We're able to use it up here. There are some constraints to that, but we do have that as a frontline engine where we can run some incidents with it, and that takes away some of the wear and tear on our other equipment. And in return, when the state wants that truck, it goes out with that strike team of four other cities, and they go out with a strike team leader. So you will see that new truck sitting in the station. That's about a $350,000 truck. Came with all the equipment. It didn't cost us a penny, and the state pays to maintain it.
I'm using this program today to kind of put to bed some rumors that filtrate through a city. Whenever there are changes, always changes don't come easy. And we've had some Facebook postings, and we've had some other things going on with some stuff about what's happening at the fire department. And I thought this was a great opportunity to perhaps educate the South County and the city of Anderson and the people that are in the Anderson Fire Protection District that the things that we're doing, we're making some differences. We're bringing our equipment up. We have not spent a lot of money doing that. We've been creative. We're all the board and the fire chief are very cognizant of the fact that we are dipping into our reserves, and we need to do something about that. But we also know we have to instill in the community that they're getting good fire protection service if we're going to ask them to donate more money in the near future. So that's kind of a warning for you out there, too, that we're going to be putting a hard sell on you here pretty quickly. But I want you to feel confident that, in fact, you're going to be getting something for your money. And that's what this kind of education program is about today. If you got any questions, you can give us a call at 605-4567. And we're going to go to a break now. And Bob is flipping pages frantically because we know we have to pay the bills while Carl and Linda are gone. And we'll be back for the last segment.
All right. Thank you very much. It is 15 minutes in front of 9 o'clock now here at KCNR 1460. With this program, portion of the program brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, Reading, our firearms dealer of choice when it comes to selecting that new long gun or pistol, having gunsmith work on our guns or buying ammo. John Bastiani prides himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock and at fair prices. But, excuse me, Bastiani Arms, 222-8222.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
It's the 11th annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino, starting with an awesome buffet and featuring raffles, bands, dancing, bike games, vendors, and poker hand and joker hand prizes at each stop. Poker hand with a low hand of $250 and a high hand of $500. For pre-registration form and details, visit ReddingDogPound.com or call 710-6289. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Dr. Jack Finch, Shasta Regional Hospital, Outlander Creative, Lakeshore Inn and RV, America's Tires, Shasta Athletic Club, AC Guide Service, R&R Meats, Everyday Fitness, CR Gibbs, Crown Motors, Land Custom Seats, Outlaw Motorcycle, Sojourn Cellars, Westside Pet Hospital and Boarding, Record Searchlight, California Brewery, Ridge Bay Resort, and Mosley Family Cellars. The 11th Annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino. So why are you sitting there? Come on and ride.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And we're back for one more segment of Free Fire Radio. And Mighty Fine Foods now is Dreyer's Ice Cream by the Scoop, $1.69 a scoop, or two for $3. Oh, they've got 1,000 cold drinks, including 250 beers, 350 liquor and wine choices, and daily deli specials under $5. Mighty Fine Foods, locally owned and operated, back under original ownership since 2012. Your one-stop shop on the way to the lake, 299 in Deschutes, Bella Vista, California. Mighty Fine Foods.
Welcome back to the final segment of Community Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM. If you got a burning question you'd like to ask, it's 605-4567, and that was kind of a Freudian slip, huh? Okay, and welcome all of you, and thanks for joining us in the chat room this morning at KCNR1460.com. There's conversation going on there, in there as usual, and some of it's about us and some of it isn't, but glad you're enjoying yourself nonetheless. And so we got Chief Rick Weigel here this morning with Anderson Fire Protection District. And we talked a little bit earlier about the community risk division that we have in cooperation with the city of Anderson. Kind of expand on that a little bit and how we kind of reorganizing some things there.
Sure. The Fire Prevention Bureau, or the term fire prevention, is kind of an old term. And more progressive departments have switched over to more of all risk towards the community risk, so to speak. And that community risk division takes in fire prevention, fire inspections, education, all those kinds of things, but also goes a little bit farther to touch another area called urban survival and everything that it would take to survive. We're talking from little infants all the way up to the elderly. And when you start talking about that kind of stuff, you're talking about smoke detectors, you're talking about car seats, programs where, you know, people that don't have the ability to put car seats in their vehicles, we can help do that. And so we're looking at some car seat clinics. We're looking at everything from car seats all the way up to helping the elderly plan for evacuations in a fire, fire safety, how to get out, and everything in between. And also, in that area, community risk is the working with the building community, with sprinkler ordinances, the fire code, things like that. And what we've done in Anderson is we've taken our fire marshal and we've kind of split him up. He works 4 days over 3 days over in the fire in his office, and one full day over at City Hall. We've got an office over there for him now, and he goes over there and he meets with the building folks over there. And so what we're trying to do is to eliminate this gap of plans, checks, and things like that in the community from the building department to the fire department.
One-stop shopping for our people that are interested in building there or having new things, yeah, and that makes it a lot easier. We're going to go to the phone.
And you'll need your headphones on. There we go.
Yeah, and we need we're going to call from Billy Bob. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Yes, good morning, Trish. Interesting show.
Thank you.
Learned something. I can't believe I haven't heard, as politically astute as you are, I haven't heard any comments on the debate last night. So while I had you cooped up there, I wanted to see if I can get an opinion out of you.
Boy, and I was hoping nobody would ask that question because I had a previous commitment last night. I taped it, and when I get done with the show here today, I'm going to watch it from beginning to end, and I was kind of hoping I wouldn't have to get into it. What was your take on it?
We have Billy Bob has rang off. Okay. I wanted to know what he thought.
Yeah. I would like to know what your opinion of it. I had hated to admit that. Here you got me on the air, and I have to admit I didn't listen to the debate. But I did tape it. I've got it on my ready to watch when I get done here this morning and later in the day, because I'm anxious to see how they all fared. It's got to be a zoo with 11 people on the stage again for 3 hours. Bob, did you take...
I did not watch it. I heard some of the after-action stuff, and I guess for the most, it was kind of a dog pile on the Donald, but he has invited that sort of thing, and I think he's there's no such thing as bad publicity, and I think that Trump displays that more than a lot.
I think from my take on the whole thing is I'm delighted to have Donald Trump in the mix for the simple reason that he is getting people talking about this election and the fact that we have issues in this United States. He's got them talking about it, whether you agree with him or disagree with him. He's got people interested in it that haven't been interested in it in a long time.
And we have reestablished our connection with Billy Bob. I think either his phone dropped or our phone dropped. But anyway, here he is again. Hello, welcome back, Billy Bob.
Okay, so give me your take on it, Billy Bob.
Well, I just was fascinated by the fact that the Republicans have 15 of the most qualified people that I have ever seen in my lifetime, compared to the dismal turnout in the past election cycles. Every one of those people there last night, and what got me thinking is that I don't know how many fire marshals and firefighters they had in that auditorium last night, but they probably had several trucks, because it was a firefight, and it was well done. CNN, it was more of a gotcha on the fact that so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that, and again, it was very very interesting. And again, if we took all of those people and put them in the cabinet, Huckabee,
wow,
all of them, Santorum, all of them. They're just jingle. They're just fantastic. And Ben Carson, put him as Surgeon General. Carly Farina, put her as Vice President. Put the Donald in charge. Let him, try to muster his own ego and get it done. But again, it was fascinating, so I can't wait for your comments next week. So,
all right, yeah, and I'll make a point of doing that. Actually, maybe tomorrow I'll get I'm going to watch it sometime today, and I'm going to do the show tomorrow, and I'll make sure that I include my comments in tomorrow's show.
Oh, yes, that's right. You are hosting tomorrow. Okay, great. I'll be listening. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Billy Bob. Okay, so... I don't know. We haven't talked politics with the chief yet, so we'll wait and see whether he wants to be political or not. Final thoughts. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left. What else do you want to talk about that is of interest to that you want to share about Anderson Fire or fire in general?
Boy, I don't know. You know, it just I just want the people out there to understand that they've got a real dedicated group of people that are working hard, you know, for their safety, their protection. It takes 7 to 10 years to change a culture, and we've changed the culture here at Anderson Fire pretty quickly when it comes to safety issues and things like that. I came in as a new chief, but one of the things that, you know, I'm pretty collaborative on things. I like to work with the labor. I like to work with the union. I think that that's important. There needs to be a working relationship there. But I do take a zero tolerance on safety violations and safety issues, things like that. So, you said it earlier, you know, we had to spend some money on our vehicles that they hadn't been repaired properly. They hadn't been inspected. There was quite a few things that we had to pick up, and everybody's it's a good group of people.
I want to jump really quickly to something we touched on just a little bit, and one of the big conversations in the city of Reading is the issue with the homeless population, and we're not immune to that down in the city of Anderson. And in fact, tomorrow I'm going to have Chief Mike Johnson, the police or the police chief down in Anderson, and we're going to talk about those issues specifically because he's put in some good ordinances and some things to help us. But that homeless population is a big impact in this fire danger kind of prone area that we live in, and has had a big impact on the city. You talked a little about it, but what can the property owners do to help out the fire department?
Well, one of the things they can do is they can look at their vegetation management program if they've got a large group, a large area, and to keep those areas clean. And the more that they can clean their property, the less chance of a fire making a run through it they're going to have. If they have people living in homeless camps and things like that, they need to give us a call because we'll go out there and we'll look for campfires and things like that, because we've had quite a few fires start at the homeless camps.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up this morning. I want to thank the chief for joining me. We'll be here tomorrow with the Anderson police chief and city manager. We're going to talk more about that, and I'm going to give you my rundown on what I thought of the Republican debate.
Well,
thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. As expected, the issue of Planned Parenthood funding sparking some passionate responses at the GOP Reagan Library debate last night. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Chris Christie and Jeb Bush touted their pro-life records, but it was former CEO Carly Fiorina who won a standing ovation when she said Republicans in Congress should stand fast on defunding Planned Parenthood, even if it triggers a government shutdown.
This is about the character of our nation, and if we will not stand up and force President Obama to veto this bill, shame on us.
Meanwhile, Mike Huckabee said he would make opposition to abortion a litmus test for Supreme Court nominees. Greg Clugston at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California.
General Motors will forfeit $900 million as part of a deal with the government to resolve a criminal investigation into how the automaker concealed a deadly problem with ignition switches in small cars. Last year, GM recalled